You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Let's roll. Sports Rage. It's a Twisted Tuesday. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, including Rick Saratella, as it's football week. The holiday season is upon us already. It's pretty wild, but here we are. And as I stated, you know, we've talked a lot this year about the quality of play in the National Football League, and it really hasn't been a great season this year in the NFL, but the NFL is a lot like sort of a big time Hollywood production, in which, you know, the movie might kind of suck for the first hour or so, but the last half hour they go all out and they have to save their budget for the last half hour. There's a bunch of explosions and crazy stuff happens in the last half hour of the movie. I think that's the NFL. And we're sort of getting to the back end right now where things will start to get crazy. And truth be told, as we bring Rick Saratella in right now, allaccessfootball.com. Rick, we really couldn't – things have really set up perfectly as far as Thanksgiving Thursday is concerned in the NFL. Oftentimes, you know, the games are on, but maybe there's one game that people are looking forward to or that is important. But the Lions and the Packers game is a big game. The Cowboys and Chiefs suddenly becomes a big game with the Cowboys' revival and the Chiefs fighting for their playoff lives. And now we got Joe Burrow coming back, Baltimore in first place suddenly once again. Man, we got a big-time week of football coming up, not even to mention rivalry week, college football. It's go time.
Unbelievable, Gabriel Morenci. And shout-out to John Madden. That was always a staple on Thanksgiving, giving out the turkey legs, and I do miss that tradition. I know they're trying to keep it alive. And, you know, Detroit, I think, is a great Thanksgiving game. And the Packers, you know, they've been down a little bit with Tucker Kraft out. I think the Lions win this one, and the Chiefs are red hot. The Cowboys had an instrumental comeback, unbelievable, and in-division rivalry game in itself. And I think the Chiefs are really getting hot, and the Ravens, you know, these are two organizations who have been on the ropes fighting, scratching, clawing for their playoff lives, and it all comes to fruition. It's the witching hour stretch season part of the duration of the National Football League.
Yeah, you know what? It's John Madden was such a one-of-a-kind person, an individual. He's never going to be replaced or copied, but it is, you know, it is amazing, isn't it, to show, like, his legacy. Nobody's ever really replaced him.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? There's no beloved, popular, everybody likes him, makes everybody laugh type of deal. There isn't that guy. You know what I mean? Like, you got Tom Brady in the booth, Tony Romo in the booth. Like, it's not, you know, you figure, you know, there would have been some one person to sort of fill the role of the everyman.
Well, you know, I think
I guess they're just not out there. Like, who do they have? Like,
I think the NFL has just become so corporate. Like, I think back to the Art Donovans of the world and personalities that we used to have. Jimmy DeGreek. And, you know, and now everything is very.
They don't want that now. You're right.
They don't.
They want the clean cut, Let's put Matt Ryan on TV. Let's put Tom Brady on TV. Let's put Tony Romo on TV.
And, like, you know, I think today, like, Rex Ryan is a pretty animated guy on the pregame show.
You read my mind with Rex. But the thing is, Rex is not likable. Right? He's funny and he's joyful and he's that ha, 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 ha. But he comes across, let's be real, like as a jerk.
Smartest guy in the room, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, bro, last time I checked, you didn't win a lot of football games when you were a coach in the NFL, but you seem to criticize everybody. Like, have you seen a former coach criticize coaches and players as much as this guy does?
Well, and that's the thing. He's outwardly politicking and campaigning for jobs that aren't even open yet, right? And so, you know, it's a different kind of approach that he brings. And, you know, for whatever
it's worth, a guy go on TV. I could do a better job than this coach. Yeah, you know, like that's what I'm saying. Like, Sean Madden would never do that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Madden, you know, he and Madden had a resume to back it up. He was very likable. And I feel like, you know, I know Gruden got dragged through the mud, but I feel like I enjoy his draft quarterback sessions as much as anything.
Great call. He was that one guy that sort of had that same type of contagiousness, right?
About and like, he can break down the film in layman's terms and make it enjoyable, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but remember like how Gruden, every quarterback he loved?
Yeah.
Every game he did, Rick. He could be my quarterback. I tell you what, like, he could be my quarterback. And I love him. He loved every quarterback ever.
This is true. Yeah,
that he did. But good call. Gruden sort of had that people liked him and it was a contagious thing going. But once again, John Madden wouldn't have sent a bunch of homophobic, xenophobic emails out.
Right.
So, like, once again, you know, Madden is a one of a kind. But I want to bring it up, your thoughts. Kind of flew under the radar a little bit, but Chris Collinsworth did his 500th game on Sunday. Very impressive, 500 games. Collinsworth, you know, one of the G-shucks, golly type of guys.
Yeah.
He's hung around with that attitude. And, guys, I'll be honest with you. That's how you stay in those primetime roles. You need to be family-friendly. You need to be league-friendly. When there's a difficult call, you can't rip the league. If you want to keep the job, what you do is you say it's a tough call. It could have gone either way. And Collinsworth is the king of it. But Collinsworth runs PFF, right? He started that. What's your take on Collinsworth and what he's built? I mean, 500 games is amazing. He's had a hell of a television career. But what about PFF and the grades that causes so much debate? What's your thoughts on what he created?
Well, I do have an opinion on PFF, but let me just say that's a testament. The longevity there to adapt and adjust through all the – I go back. I remember Chris Collinsworth on Inside the NFL with Len Dawson and Nick Bonacani, right? And to adapt through all those decades and stay relevant.
Smart people show in the old days. The HBO stuff used to be for smart people, right? But
yeah. And we had to wait all week for the highlights, right?
Yeah.
And those camera angles, they weren't all available. But, you know I know, well, Pro Football Focus, I believe, was already upstarted and established, and then he came along and pumped a lot of money into it and put his name on it. But, you know, with the PFF grades, I think Steve Spagnuolo recently criticized, and there's been a lot of criticism, right? But what Spag said, it holds true, is I don't know how you grade a guy on a play-by-play basis when you don't even know what play's called, what his job assignment is, right? So, like, how are you grading these? And so to me, like, it's a baseline, but I don't put a lot of stock in or carry a lot of weight.
So that's a great point. So what are you grading if he made the tackle only? And he didn't do
it. You're guessing. It's guesswork.
They asked him to do, right? Take
yeah, it's guesswork.
Yeah.
You're awarding a positive and negative, and he may have, you know, ran a stunt, and you thought he should have shot the gap, and, like, you don't even know what's being called. So that's my criticism with the PFF grades.
So – we've got big-time games this week, as I stated. Mm. You said, you know, the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. The Lions sort of have the Lions have had injury issues this year, Rick, but the Lions have had a hard time against good teams.
Yeah. Right?
They survived against the New York Giants, who are not a good team, but they survived. Normally, they blow bad teams out. I've got my concerns about the Lions in the big picture, and I've dismissed them as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I just don't buy in that they can go on the road and win a big game.
No, I don't know if they're Super Bowl contenders, but they are explosive when they're clicking. And I know Dan Campbell now has taken over the play calling. You know, Jared Goff is playing efficient football once again, and he's got experience. He can steer the ship. They're always going to be competitive as long as he remains healthy. And, you know, the Packers, like I said, without Tucker Kraft, it's kind of an offense by committee. This should be a close game. I know Detroit's favored by 2.5. I think they escape with the field goal. It's probably come down to the last possession, but I agree. They've played down to a lot of their caliber of competition.
We talked about the Thursday games. How about the Black Friday game with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears? Got to tip our cap to Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, and the entire football team, right? If people, you'll notice people really seem to enjoy kicking Caleb Williams when he was down and he was going to be a big failure. And people enjoyed, including myself, taking some pot shots at Ben Johnson earlier in the year when he was humbled a couple of times. But for a rookie coach and for a first year coach, this thing has come together like as well as Bear fans could have hoped for.
Yeah, and I was one of those who was hesitant as well, and I said I hope he proves me wrong, and he has. And he's kind of got that Kirk Cignetti wire to him where he's just a very serious dude, hard to crack a smile, doesn't really soak in the moment. He's already, you know, post-game interview, on to the next game. And he just seems like a grinder. And, you know, he has this reputation for being an offensive mastermind. And we debated whether or not Caleb Williams could comprehend the offense. And I thought what he did, looking back at it now, was challenge him. And I thought that was a positive thing for Caleb Williams' development moving forward.
I saw, and I like Dan Orlovsky, but the thing is, when you're on TV as much as Orlovsky is, you're going to end up saying things, and you're going to end up becoming a villain, right? It's like, you know, be the hero, live long enough type of deal. So, you know, Orlovsky's got some good takes, and, you know, his X and O breakdowns are good. But I find, you know, I found it interesting. He and others, including Jason Kelce, so I'll give Kelce a little bit more credit than Orlovsky because he played for the Philadelphia Eagles. But Kelce was talking about the Eagles' struggles offensively, and he says the offensive line just isn't the same right now, and injuries to the O-line have caught up. Orlovsky said that the Philadelphia Eagles aren't good enough. Their offense isn't good enough to beat good teams right now. And I'm thinking to myself, they are 26-5 in their last 31 football games. So, yeah, they blew a lead to the Dallas Cowboys this week. But do you buy in that the sky is falling on the Philadelphia Eagles as much as some of the media are making it out to be?
Well, yeah, if you tune into the Philadelphia radio station, the sky is falling with Kevin Petullo's play calling. But I think the problems exist inside the locker room. And, you know, I thought this A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts situation would blow over. And it's kind of lingered now from last season, carried into this season, to the point now where A.J. Brown is not giving 100% effort. He gives up on routes. He's not demonstrating any effort on blocking whatsoever. And I think that trickles down inside the locker room when your star wideout doesn't want to play hard. And, you know, now there's a schism because Hurts is freestyling. He's audibling out of what Petullo's calling, doing his own thing. I feel like he's almost force-feeding A.J. Brown now at times just to keep him content. And I think when you get away from the natural flow of the game and start force-feeding and start freestyling and doing your own thing – inside the locker room, people are looking at each other now. And I just wonder, with all the woes they're having, the offensive line, the continuity, the hustle, you know, the cracks in the armor are showing.
You know what, though? It's a real collective team effort as far as the cracks, isn't it? Like you said, the O-line has issues, the coaching staff issues, Jalen Hurts has issues, A.J. Brown's upset. But they string it together every Sunday, don't they, for the most part? They've strung it together. You have to wonder, you know, you dance with the devil, like, you know, continuously on a daily basis. Eventually, you're going to lose. And they've kind of been doing that, right? They've had a lot of sort of lucky wins. But I like where you're going with the play calling. We see it's, you know, It doesn't seem like it's the most positive thing when you make a change at this time of the season. And they're not going to fire the OC right now, but will a change come where Sirianni says, you know what, I'm taking over the play calling?
It could be. It could be coming. And I wouldn't put it past Sirianni to do that, because he does recognize when there's an issue and when he needs to step in. And that's what he was known for, you know, prior to taking over this head coaching job. So, you know, I will say this, like, you look back now at the Jalen Phillips trade, they flipped him for a third round pick. That was probably the best deadline deal of any team. I mean, he's come in, made an instant impact. They were weak at pass rush. I still think they're a little bit inconsistent with the pass rush, but they definitely shorted up a little bit with the acquisition of Phillips. The offensive line, you know, I don't know what the long-term outlook is going to play. Like, Lane Johnson's the ultimate competitor. He's going to play through pain, but they've been banged up and down that offensive line. I know they do a lot of cross training, and laying 7 here on the Black Friday, I think they've had a hard time covering. They've had a hard time winning lately. And I think the Bears are going to keep this one close. I do think the Eagles do escape by a toenail.
Yeah. 7 points does feel like a little bit much. Rick, the LA Rams on Sunday dismantled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've been rolling along. I thought, you know, that Ram performance on Sunday might have been the best performance I've seen in the NFL this year from any team in any game. Like, just as far as it's almost like a UFC fight. It was like, dude, like, this one guy is a champion. You know, I mean, this guy is championship material, and the other fighter, like, it was exposed as a journeyman. They just beat Tampa down, but all facets of the football game, running backs running hard, wide receivers scorching. Right, Devontae Adams, Matt Stafford is MVP of the NFL right now. Defensively, flying around, and you're the draft guy. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, man. It was only like, whatever, dude, 4 years ago, whatever. The Rams won the Super Bowl, and people thought, oh, they're really going to pay the price for this. Like, they traded so many draft picks. They had so many cap issues. They sold their soul to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, it took them basically about 6 months to rebuild, because they knock it out of the park at the draft. There's not a team, Rick, in the NFL that has as many sort of fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, third rounders to become stars and starters. Like, you get drafted by the Rams, you end up playing and are normally good.
It's so unique, because they actually went out of the last 10 years, they have not had a first round pick in 7 of those 10 years. And it's fascinating, because the Rams are the one team that do not send scouts to the All-Star games. They do not attend the NFL scouting combine. They rely, even during the season, they're not.
It's wild. Huh? That's crazy. I know. Yeah. I saw Sean McVay say, I don't even really watch college football. Like, I don't have time.
Well, and they don't send their scouts out to the games, like, in season. Like, they'd rather have their scouts spend a Saturday and watch 7 games on film than go out and scout 1 game in person. And it's hard to argue with the philosophy, because they've been on top of the NFL. They've won a Super Bowl. And, you know, how do you argue with that kind of logic? So what they're doing, I think, is setting a new trend. But I think they're the best team in the NFL right now.
The only thing is, it's still early, so stuff changes.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, the Bucks, right? It's a marathon, not a race. A month ago, the Bucks were looking like the hottest team. And then you talk about the injuries and the piling up, and it does catch up to you. And so you don't want to shoot your load too early, and then injuries play into a factor. And now you're seeing teams like the Chiefs and the Ravens getting hot. Like, those are dangerous ball clubs if they get into the playoffs.
It was wild, the updated Super Bowl odds right now. The Rams are favorites at plus 400. The Eagles are the second choice at plus 650. The Seattle Seahawks are now the third choice at 10-1.
Wow.
Wow is right. The Indianapolis Colts 10-1. The Chiefs 10-1. The Lions are 12-1. The Bills are 12-1. The Ravens are 12-1. The Broncos are 12-1. The Patriots are 14-1. The Packers are 15-1. You don't normally see this, guys, like, in the NFL. Normally there's a couple of teams, and then there's everybody else. But you see, just like, you know, even the odds makers really don't know what to do with this right now. But one team I see right now where there's a big drop off, 33-1. And it wasn't pretty for the San Francisco 49ers. But 33-1 is a crazy high number for a 49er team that's going to get healthier as the season goes on. And even though they've been injured as they have, Rick, they keep on winning football games.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Kyle Shanahan for, I think, maximizing the most out of his roster. And I know that Shanahan and Lynch are on a very hot seat. Like, never mind making the playoffs. If they don't win, like, two games in the playoffs, they might both be gone after the season. So I do think they're feeling the pressure. Purdy bounced back from that three-interception first half and turned it around. For a second, you were wondering about Mac Jones, the return of the Mac. And now that, listen, they're going to have a trade pawn this offseason because somebody is going to trade for Mac Jones, and he's under contract now for $4 million. They'll have to give him an extension. But to me, that's like another first round pick waiting in the wings. And listen, I thought, you know, the wide receiver corps has fallen off. They went from Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk to now Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. You know, George Kittle's healthy now. McCaffrey hasn't busted the big runs, but he still gets the job done. And I think the 49ers are a team like they can win. They can hang with just about every team. It's just a matter of being consistent.
Yeah, I tell you what, 33-1 is a massive number. Like, it's crazy to me that the Seahawks are 10-1 and the Niners are 33-1. They're in the same damn division.
What are the Chiefs now? What are the Chiefs at?
12-1.
Okay.
12-1. All right, before we get you out of here, Rick, the college coaching carousel continues and the craziness continues. Brian Kelly, you know, like I said, I'm far from the president of the Brian Kelly fan club, I'll tell you that much. But this situation that LSU has created with Brian Kelly is pretty insane and amazing to me that they just don't pay him to end this, to get this story out of the news cycle. But basically, Brian Kelly is saying that he can't get a new job now and he can't get hired because he's still got this legal cloud over his head because of LSU. And quite frankly, once again, I don't like Brian Kelly, but Brian Kelly is right, because there's always a clause in these contracts with the buyout that you have to act in good faith to try to get a new job. Like I said, you can't sit on the couch and eat Doritos and just say, give me the $50 million. If somebody offers you a job, you got to act within good faith and get employment again. And Kelly has a very good point in which he says, I'm trying to live up to my end of the contract. I have interviews, but I'm being told they don't want to talk to me until this thing is resolved. This is a real, like, it's not going to get resolved. I think it's going to end up going to court, Rick. And word is, I mean, basically, I think Michigan State want to hire Brian Kelly.
Yeah, he's got a place up in Michigan. He's been rumored for that. Obviously, he's got ties from Grand Valley State and Central Michigan, where he's been before. And, you know, it's just bizarre because, like, I saw just a few days ago, LSU sent him the official formal notice that he's being fired, which came like a month after his last game. So they just finally, like, they're trying to play these shenanigans. They're going to drag it through the courts. And, you know, it might cost Brian Kelly to sit out a hiring cycle, which wouldn't actually be the worst thing for him. But to his point, like, I don't know, it might make LSU difficult to get their next head coach.
They think that he's going to break. And like I said, I don't like Brian Kelly, but he does not strike me as the type of dude that's going to fold, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would not. Like, that's not a bet I would make. Like, they owe him $54 million. They offered him 30 or 25, 35. Like, they're trying to weasel out of it and make this thing more affordable. And he's not biting. Right, he's just not biting, and he's
still a big gap. I mean, that's so far apart. I mean,
no, they own the money. Like, whatever, you hired him, you got to pay him to leave right now, and you have the money. But I don't know. Will it scare off other coaches? Which, look, Lane Kiffin's a -135 favorite right now to be the next coach of LSU. What do you think happens? Supposedly, they're going to announce this thing the day after the Egg Bowl, which is Friday. So I guess we'll sort of know. I don't know with Lane Kiffin. Nothing is ever set in stone. And this guy could change his mind too. He might say something and sleep on it and feel differently. I get the feeling he is going to leave for LSU though.
Yeah, you know, I did see the press conference yesterday, and he didn't come out and say, hey, I'm going to be right here at Ole Miss. Like, he had he had plenty of moments or opportunities there yesterday to kind of declare that, and he kind of eluded the question, which in previous past history usually indicates the coach is gone.
This is pretty wild that Jed Fish is the favorite to be the Florida Gators coach. Plus 140 as well. Like, not just the favorite, but listen, just because the odds makers make something, especially with this coaching stuff, it's not. Look, they got Lane Kiffin at plus 170 to be the new coach of Florida as well, which would be
a curveball. Yeah, I did see Matt Campbell of Iowa State is rumored to be the next Arkansas head coach. And remember, Campbell turned down the Detroit Lions job before they hired Dan Campbell.
Here's a bold one. CFL connection. Oklahoma State, next head coach, Ben Arbuckle. Nick Arbuckle's brother, 33-1, Rick. There's my hot take.
Very interesting. I mean, you know, they might need a younger hire because they're not going to attract a big name there. They're not going to pay top dollar, and they don't really have a lot of NIL kitty money. So that might be, you know, try to strike on the next young hot coach. Not a bad idea.
Alex Golish is the favorite, the South Florida coach. He's the favorite for Oklahoma State right now. I don't know if that's even a better job than South Florida, to be honest with you. Like, he's got a good thing going to South Florida now, and he can wait this out and get another job. So I don't know. Like, but money talks, so it depends on what they're going to pay him. Colin Klein, the guy from from K-State's 3-1. The North Texas coach, Eric Morris, is plus 550 for Oklahoma State. G.J. Kinney is 14-1. Zach Robinson is 14-1. Ben Arbuckle, 33-1. So there's a quick update. And Auburn's next coach, Joe Summerall, the Tulane coach, which people kind of think is a slam dunk. He's the biggest favorite at minus 250, yeah. Rick.
Well, I think it'll be interesting also now Chip Kelly's a free agent. And what's his future bring, right? I mean, at UCLA, his former job, Tommy Reese, the Browns offensive coordinator, is rumored to be there. James Madison head coach Bobby Chesney might have a shot to be the UCLA.
I wouldn't hire Chip Kelly to be the offensive coordinator of the BC Lions. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, if he was available and he said, yeah, you know what? I've never been to the CFL. I'd like to be, you know, I'd be like, yeah, good luck with that. Like,
you know, it's amazing, like the highest paid offensive coordinator, I believe, in the league, and they just part way, like 11 games gone.
I was making like $6 million.
Yeah.
It's more than like Stefanski makes $3 million to be the head coach. All right, last thing, Rick. Shador Sanders, he gets the start and he wins the football game. And, of course, then he's got to go and kind of ruin the moment after by getting coffee after the game. Yeah. But, like, that's the thing with him. It's like, dude. If you would have just shut your mouth after, everybody would have been applauding you on TV all week. Yeah. Everybody would have been like, oh, he got his chance, and you know what? He handled this well and this. Instead, like, for people who don't know, right after the game, he looks into the camera and he basically goes, see, I win. All I got was one practice, one week of practice. Imagine if I practiced all year. Hey, see what would have happened. We'd be like, it was like, bro, he's a kid. I don't hate him for it or anything, but it's like he was fired up. I get it. But that's the type of stuff that he just doesn't get. But he is their best option. I got to be honest with you. In the Raiders could have taken his kid in the third round or something or whatever. They could have, and they didn't. And they're a clown show. But with that being stated, I couldn't help but think, Rick, I was at the game when Jeff Saturday beat the Raiders. So everybody beats the Raiders. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Right. Well, you know, if it wasn't Deion Sanders' son, you would have thought it was an AI, like the lack of self-awareness, but that's what you get with Shador Sanders. And I mean, you know, I got to question really the leadership and character of Kevin Stefanski, to be honest with you, and just the way that he handled the draft press conference when they selected Shador. And even, like, it might seem subtle, but just the slight in the post-game locker room, like barely even acknowledging him.
He didn't give him the game ball.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, Myles Garrett had 3 sacks, so I can understand that. But I thought there was a real opportunity to galvanize the squad and really inject some confidence into Shador Sanders. And, like, Dylan Gabriel passed the concussion protocol, and they're still going to start Shador Sanders. And it's like he's chopped liver over here.
And, well, I'll tell you what, too, Stefanski, if Shador starts winning and stuff and playing relatively well, and it'll lead into, well, why didn't he start earlier – Stefanski can't take credit for it. Like, he can't. He basically, like you said, Rick, like, he could not have thrown this kid under the bus more than he has. Last month, he basically said in a press conference, like, he almost got, like, defensive and said, listen, I didn't even want to draft him. Like, he basically said, it wasn't my choice. Like, because people are like, why do we have so many quarter? And he basically admitted, right? It was the owner that just told me, you know, the owner did this, right? That the owner wanted Shedeur Sanders, and he basically forced the move on everybody. And I'm not a great way to exactly, you know, instill confidence in the situation there. Rick Saratella, All Access Football. Rick, I know you're doing some great work breaking down all the college teams with the risers and people are dropping in the NFL draft. I look forward to reading it all, and we'll really get into the draft once all these big games sort of wrap up. But final college predictions this week, Michigan, Ohio State, a big-time game. Rick, what do you think? Can Michigan pull it off 5 years in a row?
You know, it's always a tough game for Ohio State. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes here. I think they're just playing nasty. This team is tough. They're physical. They're violent. They're everything that I thought they wouldn't be. And I know Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate missed the game last week against Rutgers. If they miss this game, I think it could be a little bit more interesting. But I'm going to go Ohio State here.
I can't believe Texas A&M are only 2.5-point favorites against Texas, too. But I think they're going to beat them. Rick? All Access Football. Thanks, Rick.
Love you, baby.
All right, we go from Rick Saratella to Andrew McKinnis and Cam Stewart. Big week of football. McKinnis, your Packers play the Lions. First game up, Thanksgiving. Lions are down to 2.5-point favorites right now. Total 49. Of course, they played in the first game of the first game of the season. Lions struggled against the Packers. What are your thoughts on the rematch, McKinnis?
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Gabe, good to be here with you as always, man. And I'll tell you what, it's not Packers versus the Lions. It's Packers versus their own depth chart right now with the injuries. I feel like that's what it's always been for this team. I'm always talking with you about the injuries, not as much about the whole team itself. I'm a little worried coming into this game. I am. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was here. Looking at the depth chart, looking at too many guys that are questionable. And you look back at the first meeting between these two teams, how many times we saw Josh Jacobs carry the ball, how many times they ran the ball, the way they were able to establish the run to open up the pass. You know, right now there's just too many guys with question marks next to their names. It makes me a little bit worried, but I'll tell you, I'm waiting for the numbers to come out. I think Romeo Doubs is going to have a great game in this one. He's going to be my prop guy, receptions, longest reception, probably some yards as well. When it comes to this game overall, though, we saw an under in the last one. I'm looking for the over in this one. Just because I feel like we're going to see Detroit take a lot more risks and we're going to see them kind of, I think, be able to possess the ball a lot more and run the score up on the Packers a little bit. It's a pretty good spot, though, for this Packers team, because it seems like every few weeks this Packers team has been humbled. Look at their record when they were massive favorites, right? Like losing to the Panthers, losing to some good teams. Then they go ahead and they actually get into a tightly contested ball game and they come out on top. So, you know, I think maybe the Packers are going to start getting some value as the injury reports come out. But at the end of the day, I think we could probably end up getting some value on the over because of these injuries as well. Will mostly be a prop game for me. But, Gabe, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was worried here.
Yeah, very tough for a team on a short week when you've got to deal with injury situations as well. This is a massive game for both teams. the Lions season is kind of falling apart right now. I know they survived the Giants, but they've got to start stringing some wins together. They're not in the playoffs right now, right? I mean, it's as simple as that. The Lions are on the outside looking in. I mean, so like you want to talk about big, the term big game gets tossed around a lot, but Cam, what's your pick for the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions?
I like the Lions here, Gabe, and I know they've been letting people down with the spread outright, everything. They got a lot of problems and great points about the offensive line on yesterday's podcast with Mo. But the thing is, this is a huge game for them, revenge spot too. Remember, Green Bay also kicked their ass the last Thanksgiving when Detroit was a huge favorite. So I think there's a lot of anger here. Goff needs to be better. Detroit needs to be better. Gibbs is an absolute machine, but Green Bay might have a plan for him. But I just think they just win, Gabe. I agree with McInnes, too. I think there's going to be lots of points in this game, like a 31-27 type of game for the Detroit Lions, who win and barely cover the number.
Well, McInnes, you mentioned the Packers injuries. Don't forget, the Detroit Lions secondary is shredded, right? They have a million injuries on the defensive side of the football. I don't like excuses, but the Lions have like had a ton of injuries this year. They're not really themselves, but at the same point in time, everybody has injuries and it's the NFL. You've got to deal with it. And I've just been underwhelmed by this football team. They kind of seem to be, it's like that window is closing on them like quick or something. Right, like it's going to strike midnight and Jared Goff is going to suck again. Like, I just see it. There's like a regression coming, and I like Goff, but it's like, guys, he's not going to be good forever like this, right? Like for the next 5-10 years, like, you know what I mean? Like,
and nobody cares about beating the Commanders. Who cares about beating the Commanders and the Giants? I don't care about those wins, right?
That's exactly, McInnes. They don't. Every time it's a big game, they've lost. They played Philadelphia. They were terrible. They went to Kansas City. They were terrible. They went to Green Bay in week one. Oh, it was only week one. They were terrible. Right? And it's like, all right. Oh, yeah, you hung 52 on the Bears in week two. And, like, they beat bad teams and they lose to good teams. Right? But this isn't, you know, they're at home, season on the line, Thanksgiving. The game is basically a point spread, a pick 'em right now at 2.5. They just got to win the game almost. But it goes to show the lack of confidence that the odds makers are starting to feel about the Detroit Lions. Kansas City Chiefs and Cowboys. Man, this game is turned into what the NFL wanted. Both teams are on a win streak right now. They're both battling for playoff spots. Kansas City are 3-point favorites over the Cowboys, total 52. McInnes, what do you think of this one?
What I think about this one, I've been a huge player prop guy pretty much most of the season versus just the spreads and totals here, is that George Pickens has clearly, and I mean clearly, overstepped CeeDee Lamb as far as the targets and the usage here. He's been phenomenal. This is one of those games where I want to look towards the over. Again, back-to-back times where I'm looking at points in this one. I feel like the Cowboys aren't going to be able to stop the Chiefs. I feel like this Chiefs team is getting better offensively. They're starting to put it together. And right now, this Cowboys team makes way too many mistakes. You know, their third down defense has been horrible. Their red zone defense hasn't been great. But then they can turn it around and have these great receivers and great players that make these huge plays. This is going to be one of those games that kind of shocks people with how it just starts with a bang. So if I had to make a pick on this one, and you're asking me, I probably would actually lean towards the dog. You know, Thanksgiving game, getting a couple points, getting a field goal and a half here at home, I would take the Cowboys because of their scoring ability. It's for me, this game is all about if the Chiefs can establish the run, slow the game down, because I got to say, as much as this Cowboys team has been kind of frustrating for fans and bettors to watch, they've got offensive talent right now, Gabe. They do.
You know what? The Cowboys are a good team. You know, it's not just offense. What it is with the Cowboys is their defense, right? Their defense heavily criticized and got lit up, but they had a lot of injuries. They traded Micah Parsons, but don't forget, they bring in Quinnen Williams, right? They get Malik Hooker back. They get Overshown back. Like, they basically have like four new starters on defense that they didn't have like a month ago even. And it shows. Like, it's showing. You saw, like, they were imploding the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. Like, the Cowboys defensive line on paper now is suddenly one of the best, you know, defensive lines in the NFL. And their defense is getting more stops. You know, they're not the steel curtain, but they're getting more stops, which puts their explosive offense on the field more, right? And it's sort of all starting to fall into place for them. But now they've got to, you know, they beat the Eagles. Now, you know, if you're able to beat the Eagles and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, that'll be super impressive. What's your pick, Cam? Kansas City or three-point favorites?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys here, Gabe. It's going to be a tough game, but the one thing we talked about, the improvement of the Dallas defense, take a look at the Chiefs. They give up points. They're not the same Chiefs underrated defense as they once were. Dallas will be able to get points. You're right, McInnes. I got Pickens on my fantasy team. He's actually keeping me in a few leagues. And I got to tell you, he's an absolute monster. He's going to get paid definitely after this season. He can basically, Gabe, how big is that check going to be? It's going to be massive. But that's the thing, back and forth, back and forth. Dallas will have problems stopping Kansas City. I think, Kansas City will score on Dallas. I agree with McInnes again on the totals. The first two games, I like the overs, but I'm going to take the dog. You want to give me 3.5 with the Dallas Cowboys at home? I'll take it.
I think there'll be points in the game, but I'm going to be on the Kansas City Chiefs here. Dallas have been surviving and, you know, getting by, but I don't think they're better than the Kansas City Chiefs are. This game, same thing. It's a basic pick 'em. So it's 3 points. Who's got to win the football game? I'm going to take a Kansas City Chief team that is starting to dial it up a little bit right now. And like you said, the Chiefs defense is regressing a little bit and the Cowboys defense has gotten better. Will the Cowboys be able to take advantage of it? I don't think the Cowboys defense will really stop the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will score. It's going to be a close game, but I'm leaning with the Kansas City Chiefs in this game, and I do think it goes over the 52 as well. I actually think all three games go over, McInnes. I did a bet online as a contest. It's like a free contest to pick the Thanksgiving Day games and the final scores, and I went large. Like, I went high on all three of them, basically. I can make a case the Packers. You know, if there was one of them that would sort of be the lower score one, I would say it would be the first one. The Packers-Lions. Just because the Lions' offense isn't quite as explosive as people think it is. Same with the Packers. It's a divisional game. You know, there's so much at stake. It's an early, you know what I mean, Thanksgiving, short week, early start. And, you know, not only is it a short week, but you're starting earlier in the day. That's the one that I could potentially see not get crazy, but I think maybe it starts off slow and then it sort of opens up. Chiefs, Cowboys, I think they go up and down the field. And Bengals, Ravens, I think there's going to be a ton of points. McKinnis says you got Joe Burrow coming back for the Bengals.
You know, I mean, think about like NBA Christmas Day game, right? This is kind of like what this is for the NFL. This is, we always joke around that there's across all sports, can a player or team get up for certain games more than the others? And of course they do. Of course that there's some games that mean more than others. And I know that I've talked with you in the past and you said, well, you know, some players don't even know who they're playing next, which I do understand that, but they obviously know it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. And some of these players are going to be more hyped up to get the W, you know, Packers versus Lions. They want to win against the Packers, the Lions, but they also want to win on Thanksgiving on the big day. So I feel like teams are prepped, teams are excited, but I also mean that there could be some risk taken, and I'm not a huge interception prop better, but I'm going to take a lot of these quarterbacks tomorrow for interceptions, Gabe. And I'm going to look for some maybe defensive touchdowns, some pick sixes, stuff like that. I feel like on Thanksgiving, you do see some chaos, which can certainly help us out. That leads me to the Bengals game. Obviously, with this number being what it is, if Burrow can stay healthy out there and do what he does, I'm going to look towards the passing attempt prop for Joe Burrow. I feel like he's going to, you know, obviously they're going to fall behind early. There's going to be no choice but for him to sit in the pocket and have to sling that ball, especially in the full second half. For me, I locked in over 37.5 passing attempts for Joe Burrow. When looking back before he got injured, this was a team that was relying heavily on him throwing the ball, whether it was short or long passes. And the run game for this team is pretty much being thrown out the window after the, you know, first quarter and a half of the ball game. So, with that many passing attempts, you'd probably think that leads to at least one interception.
Cam, what's your pick for the Ravens and the Bengals?
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. I think it's going to be an absolute points galore. Great point by you, too. If I were to take one under, it would be the Detroit game. I'm probably going to bet all three overs, but I don't know what's going to happen with Burrow. You're getting line value on the Ravens now. Like, you know, Gabe, they're hanging a six there. It doesn't matter. And the thing is, how good is he going to be when he comes back? Agree with McInnes again. You know what I mean? The Ravens do have a couple guys on defense that can really cause problems. Maybe a pick six in that game. I lean over in this game. I'm not sure about the side yet, but probably with the Ravens with the point spread. I think it's going to be a lot of points in this game as well. I think the Ravens can do anything they want against Cincinnati's D.
And then we've got the Friday Black Friday game, which is a damn good one as well. We've really got some good games on Thursday and Friday in the National Football League. The Chicago Bears, McKinnis gets the Bears get 7 in Philadelphia against the Eagles, total 44.5. What do you think of that one?
So I talked about how the Packers have been a team that I necessarily haven't really trusted when they're laying a huge number, but they've been a team that can show up when it's a close game. This is the kind of spot where I think the Eagles are just going to have an absolute day. You know, we have seen actually some money sort of trickling in on the dog here in this one, but I lean towards the Eagles side. I would lay it, potentially even would look towards Eagles first half here, Gabe.
Cam, what do you think of the Black Friday game?
I agree. I think the Eagles kicked the Bears' ass. The Bears have been a great story, great against the spread, winning games outright, but doing it in crazy fashion. This is the one week where I think the Eagles get everything together. Running game's good. I think both receivers go off. I like the Eagles to win this game by like 16, 17 points.
How about A.J. Brown? What's the deal with this guy?
I don't think they have it in them. I don't think they have it in them, to be honest. Like, I don't think they have some sort of blowout victory up their sleeve. I think it'll be a battle for them to win the football game. I think they do have, like, serious issues right now to deal with. They've been finding ways to win because they know how to win, right? Late in games. Jalen Hurts will make one more play. Like, you know, he'll struggle, but he'll make a play when he has to. He'll scramble for that first down that, you know, we really need the first down to ice the game or to milk the clock, and he'll get it. You know, Saquon has been struggling this year because the offensive line is struggling in front of him. He still finds a way to, you know, catch that big pass and turn it into a first down. Like, they've just sort of found a way, but I don't think they're that much better than the Bears are right now. Like, they're not a touchdown better. And I don't think the Bears aren't the Panthers from last night or the Buccaneers type of deal. Well, you know, the Buccaneers are beat up. They've been in like fade mode for the last month type of deal. The Panthers were in over their head. I don't think the Bears are in over their head. I think the Bears look at this like, we're as good as they are. We're going to send a message. I think the Bears are like last year's Washington Commanders, basically. Right? They feel confident. They're going to go in there and they're going to, you know, I think Ben Johnson's cocky enough that he's going to try to put Philadelphia under the gun and make them, you know, play from behind and stuff. So I look forward to that game, but I like the Bears plus the 7. We'll wrap it up with some NHL hockey here with McKinnis. So the Vancouver Canucks, you know, this is turning into a disaster right now. They're 3 games under 500, and it doesn't sound terrible. It's like, well, you know, you're only 3 games under 500, but everybody in the NHL is basically 500. So being 3 games under 500 kind of does mean you kind of suck. But one thing that they've been incredibly consistent with is their games going over the number. They're playing the Ducks tonight. We got a 6.5, but one of the best bets in the National Hockey League this year has been Vancouver Canuck games to the over. 16-5 to the over now on the season. Well, you know, an incredible, like I said, first periods go over, their games go over. What do you like tonight, McKinnis? And the Canadians have been another team that's been going over the number all the time as well. There's a couple of trends. The Toronto Maple Leafs are another one that just go over all the time. What's your thoughts on the NHL card tonight, McKinnis?
Gabe, we're good to give out picks for Tuesday night, right?
Yeah.
When this is getting dropped. So only one game, which is kind of frustrating, but a jam-packed slate on Wednesday. I'll tell you what, I like the dog in the Dallas and Edmonton game. This is an Edmonton team here that I just still don't trust consistently enough. And I thought that Dallas had a very weird flat spot waiting for them when they played against Calgary on the weekend. And it ended up happening. Not to mention that we saw Dallas take a bunch of penalties. Mikko Rantanen hit somebody else from behind once again, putting them on the 5-minute penalty kill. That wasn't good for them. 3-2 loss for them to the Flames in the shootout. And after they had played some pretty good hockey for quite some time, they finally were going to get that wake-up call, in which they finally got. But I think the Dallas Stars are a very live dog tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, who I just don't like their defense. Let's be honest, any lower scoring game they play can't be repeated. So I like the Dallas Stars road dogs in Edmonton on Tuesday night. Looking towards the Wednesday, busy slate. Not often you get a Wednesday slate that's just jam-packed. But Buffalo,
they don't play Thursday, right? The NHL schedule is always whack, but they don't play Thursday.
Yeah, and Friday's even better. And it's kind of weird because usually that's the getaway day for a big Saturday day in the NHL. But Buffalo, Pittsburgh, I do lean towards the home team, Pittsburgh on the money line. Slight lean towards the team total, but I won't get greedy with that one. I'll tell you what, Tampa Bay and Calgary Flames, -205 is the number. Flames got their win at in Dallas, but I think this is a spot here where Tampa Bay gets back on track, keeps on scoring. I'll be looking towards first period puck line, Tampa Bay and Calgary. And these teams have been playing, it seems like, all the time over the past few weeks here, Toronto and Columbus. I'm going to take Toronto +105. I know this is an absolute lost cause right now with all the injuries that they're dealing with, but this is about as rock bottom as it gets. The last time that I saw the Montreal Canadiens dominate the Leafs so much like they did on Saturday night, I was probably 5 years old. This Leafs team needs a bounce back. This Leafs team has got a couple days to practice. Some teams need resets. That's what they're going to get. I feel like it'll be a lower scoring game, under 6.5, but I'm taking the Leafs +105 Wednesday night.
I said last week, I don't know what show it was on, but I said it might have been here actually, but I don't think the Leafs are going to make the playoffs.
Well, it's like, -170, the miss now.
Yeah, when I talked about this, whatever, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, it was like -120 or something. And it might have even been plus money, but they're not going to. Like, there's no savior coming. There's no switch that's going to be flicked. Mm-hmm. They don't have it. And the schedule, maybe the Olympic break saves them and somehow, but they're going to dig themselves such a hole by the time the Olympic break gets here that post-Olympic break, I think it's going to get really ugly. I don't see a change, Cam. I don't think they're, you know what I mean? I'm not saying you're going to lose every game for the rest of the year, but it's not just so much the Leafs. I think the Leafs have problems, but as we talked about, it was actually last week here with you. I remember now, Andrew, mm-hmm. as we talked about it. It's not just so much the Leafs. It's you've got a bunch of other teams that you've got to worry about. You can't, it's not like the Leafs are past the point where it's like, well, if we just handle our business, everything will be okay. It's like, not really, right? You've got so many young upstart teams that are just better than the Toronto Maple Leafs are right now. They're not in the same vortex of constant negativity either. And if you look at it right now, like the Toronto Maple Leafs guys, they are 5 points out of a wild card spot right now. And they literally have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They got 9 teams ahead of them. 9 teams, Kim.
Yep. Oh, no. The Leafs
got hot. Like, it's like, all right, they can win 3 or 4 in a row, but it doesn't help them if the Rangers win 3 in a row or the Canadians get hot again. Like, you got to worry about 9 teams ahead of you right now. That's not a good position to be in. They're not going to make the playoffs.
McInnes, you got more faith than me. They suck. And that game against Montreal was an embarrassment. And like, it's not just bad now, it's rock bottom. They have the worst goals against, 82 goals already in the Eastern Conference, dead last. Goal differential, -8, dead last. Dead last. The Buffalo Sabres have more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs by 1, but they still do. There's nothing, there's no reset, there's no anything. They're a cold hockey team right now, and they don't bring it. You know, I usually bet on the bounce back. I was lucky against the Blues game last week when they had to win that game in overtime. The Leafs are just a bad hockey club right now. And I agree with you, guys. I agree with you, Gabe. Like, there's too many teams to jump right now. I have no faith in them beating Columbus. It's a house of horrors for them. And if they do, McInnes, I'll give you all the props in the world.
I can't. I gotta say real quick, this Craig Berube stuff from fans, I think, is the craziest thing in the world. It does not make any bit of sense. And I know people, I've been on radio shows and I've called into post-game shows where people say, well, they can't fire all the players. That's how it works. You got to fire. Like, look, if you fire Craig Berube, you might as well just fire Brad Treliving.
Yep.
Because he's the one that put out these soldiers. You can't have Craig Berube, who they nicknamed Chief, if you
great
have those
great call, because it's like, what has Treliving done? The guy put the Calgary Flames in the toilet. Like, the guy's not a good GM, Gabe. Like, he's actually, like, take a look at his track record. I'm like, wow, you're going to come to Toronto and get better? Dubas is doing a better job with the Penguins, for God's sakes. I watched his team play. They look good. You know, they have a lot of young players on their team, Morenci. And I watched the Leafs, and it's like, wow, this is the effort you're giving, and people are paying money to watch this product? It's disgusting right now.
Cam, nobody can blame Tavares. Nobody can blame Nylander.
Tavares is awesome. He's a
how about old Max guy's Domi?
Yeah.
Max Domi makes $4 million a year.
He's a ghost.
Dubas, Dubas really hasn't done anything.
I'm just saying, Gabe.
Pittsburgh like, just are playing well.
Yes, yes. No, but the bottom line is, no, but he's with Pittsburgh, and they've made good decisions on young players, and they're playing well. Exactly. But what, like, Treliving comes to Toronto, and the situation isn't getting any better.
What I'm saying is, like, the Penguins didn't, like, make all these great decisions. People thought they were going to suck, and people wanted to get them fired. They've just surprised people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not Kyle Dubas's genius that Malkin is somehow still good right now and got good again.
I understand that. I'm just saying he is the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the guys that they've called up have done a good job. Sure, they're overachieving, but Gabe, you just look at the Leafs, and it's not just bad. Like, the way they lose games is kind of disgusting. It's like, you know what I mean? They get beat up. There's no life right now. It could get better, sure, but there's a long way to go. Let's put it that way.
I've known for years, I've said this for years, that when Austin Matthews, he's shallow. He's like, he's empty, right? He's not going to inspire people. He doesn't make people around him better. That was the thing. At least Mitch Marner makes people around him better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's on the ice and he'll make other players better, like McDavid. Like, there's certain people that can just sort of, other guys will score because they're playing with you. Nobody's going to score because they're playing with Austin Matthews, McInnes, you know? Like, he's for a sure. goal scorer. He doesn't make people better. He's not a, like, a leadership guy. He's not a character guy. I'm not, like, saying he's, like, I'm not, like, ripping him, per se. He's a hell of a goal scorer. He's got a quick release. But he's not – you're going to have a problem if he's your best player, right? Like, he can't be your leader, and, like, he's sort of got to be one of the guys. And he's not really, like, they want him to be some sort of leader. And you see, he can't be. He's not. It's not him. He doesn't have it in him. And I think, in fact, I don't even think it bothered. I think he more thinks that I'd like to get out of this situation than, like, change the situation. Right? Like, there is no, that's why I'm saying it won't make the playoffs. There is no deeper to dig inside. It's not like they can have a team meeting or something. And, all right, we're going to have a team meeting and mm-hmm. let's really figure this thing out. And, like, soul to soul, look in the mirror. Right. They won't do it. Like, they don't have it in them.
But, Gabe, the sad part is here, though, is and I'm not even saying this because I know Cam is right there with me. You know, the worst part is Leafs fans have the injuries as an excuse. And that's the worst part about this whole situation, is that they weren't having a good October, but the Leafs never play well in October. And then in November, half their skill players get injured. This is why I'm on record. I'm not saying it's the skill players. It's Bobby McMahon, Matias Michelli, who they expected good things out of. You know, Dakota Joshua, Max Domi, Nicholas Robertson. Like, every single player besides Nylander and Tavares looked awful on Saturday night. So that's the crate. Like, if somebody could message me on Twitter or comment when you post this show, one trade that Treliving has done, one trade that he's won so far since being the GM of the Maple Leafs, I don't think he's won one single trade.
Agreed.
Yeah, but Leaf fans were going crazy when they picked up Joshua in the offseason. I remember the tweets. I laughed at them. They're like, oh, we're getting tougher. Look at the culture and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right.
Have them.
Like, good for you. Fight Jack Eye on Saturday. He Jack Eye said, I'll give you one, and he skated away.
But yeah. They're not the only ones, you know what I mean, that, you know, like, I was talking about the Vancouver Canucks. They're even, like, more, I don't know, like, they're as gutless. It's the same thing. Like, the Vancouver Canucks, they're skilled, right? They have a bunch of good players and stuff. They have horrible team chemistry. And I'm not even talking about, like, oh, in the room or anything like that. Like, you know, like, Miller and Pettersson didn't get along. But, like, the way the team is constructed, it's the same thing. Like, they skate around. It's like they're playing beer league hockey, man. Right. And then end up losing every night. But it's like, well, you know what? We look good. We did a lot of things. Like, yeah, but you never take that next step. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't, like, make that play. You don't block that shot. Like, the other team always wants it more. Always. And it's same thing with the Leafs. Like, the other team wants it more. You watch the Canucks play. Like, they have no identity. It's just sort of.
They're very similar teams.
They're going through the motions. Right, they skate around and they think, like, you know, it's the don't confuse activity for achievement. The Canucks are the classic example of that. They think because they skate fast, they fly around, they try fancy passes and stuff, but they don't win games. And it's the same thing after. Well, I see the same thing with Quinn Hughes that I do with Austin Matthews. I like Quinn Hughes, a hell of a player. I mean, the guy's got vision like it's insane. But who the hell's idea was to make this guy the captain? Like, this modern NHL crap where they think the best player should be the captain doesn't make sense. It's like, yeah, just because he's the most skilled kid on the team doesn't mean he's like the captain. Like, he when he talks, his volume level is 2. You know what I mean? Like, you see after the games, yeah, we tried. And like, you know, the kids, he does that hockey thing where he looks down. He doesn't look up at anyone when he talks. It's like, bro, you're the captain. Look in the camera. Face people. Look the reporter in the eye. Don't stare down at your feet and act like this is like the worst interview you've ever had to do in your life. That's what Austin Matthews does after these games. Okay. All right. You know what I mean? Like, no, like I talked about, like with Mueller, they lost it. He basically said, this is unacceptable. We don't lose here. This is not part of our culture. Like, I mean, you know, remember when Tim Tebow lost, the guy broke down in tears and like nearly broke the press table when he said, this will never happen again. I swear we won't lose ever again. It was like, dude, you're going to lose again. But like, like, it was just like, you know, I'm not saying be like Dobish and break down in tears, McInnes, after the game, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of these young teams, man, or young players in the NHL. I hate to say it, I'm going to call it out for what it is. A lot of American players. And this is why Team Canada will win the gold medal again. They got more heart. They got more heart. You got Austin Matthews. You got Quinn Hughes. You got a bunch of kids, the other Hughes, more interested, you know, dating Tate McRae. And like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, the dudes on Canada will lose teeth and stuff, like, to win. I don't think Austin Matthews will. Like, seriously, like, if Austin Matthews, you know what I mean? I don't think Austin Matthews would take a puck to the face to win a game. I think he'd say, it's a regular season game. I'm not doing that. Right? I know we got to get you out of here. You guys are going to wrap it up. But I just don't think he would.
I was listening to Sportsnet 590, and the guys on there were saying, when Austin Matthews comes back, we better see a different version of him. We better see him be physical. And I was thinking, they must have the best weed in Toronto these days. Because what are these guys smoking, thinking we're going to get a different version of Austin Matthews? He's going to be the same guy he was before.
Exactly.
He's going to suddenly change. I can't wait for the Olympics, but that's another story. All right. Thanks, McInnes. Thanks, Cam. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us on the program. We'll be back with the Wicked Wednesday. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.